And thanks for joining us now on KVCR for KVC Arts, arts and entertainment as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. On this edition of the program, more from bassist Henry Franklin, known to most as Skipper. We'll hear about some of his jazz releases, as well as the Pierce Street Jazz Series at La Sierra University. But we're going into it with something rather removed from jazz. You collected a gold record for your work with Stevie Wonder on, let's just safely call it a severe departure from a lot of Stevie's work. This was Journey Through the Secret Life of Plants. So I'm curious about a few things on this. One, how you became involved with Stevie, if you knew each other already, or if he was like, I need a jazz cat. And so how you became a part of this. And then also, you're one of a couple of bassists on that album. So of the tracks that you did do, I think also, I'm wondering if you came up with your parts, or were you in there reading music?
I got recommended to Stevie by his secretary, who was a friend of my wife's. He had me down in the studio, and it was just he and I, and there was no music. He told me what he wanted. He was at the piano, and I was playing bass, and he just laid a bass line out for me to play. Well, he played on two tunes, and I just knocked it out. If I remember correctly, he gave me the exact notes he wanted me to play.
Okay.
Yeah, he was pretty strict about that.
Okay.
And now I know why, because he overdubbed a lot of stuff after that. Put on top of it. He just wanted this certain bass line here, and that's what he wanted, and that's what he got. And that's so he could put all the other stuff on top of it.
Gotcha.
I didn't recognize it when I heard it, you know.
Wow.
Put a lot of so much stuff on top of it.
Okay. And he knew ahead of time that he would be overdubbing and stacking these things.
Sure.
That's incredible. That's quite a mindset.
Well, he's quite a musician. He's quite a genius.
Yeah. I mentioned that when I first moved here in 2005, wherever I happened to go, it seemed like there you were, playing on bass. I'm not quite like walking through Target or Trader Joe's. Like, even at the Mission Inn, we'd be showing people we live in Redlands, and so we'd go over to Riverside and show people the cool stuff there. We'd walk into the Mission Inn, and there were a few occasions that, again, there you were. You were there for quite some time, right? Maybe a decade? It was... Not just on a Friday, it was 5 nights a week or so.
We were there 5 nights a week for 12 and a half years. Actually, the last 2 years, I think we were down to 3 nights a week. But for 8 or 9 years, we were there for 5 nights a week. I had a duo there.
I guess there would probably be a... Now we're leading into the Pierce Street Jazz through La Sierra University. So I think maybe a couple years before you stopped at the Mission Inn, you were also doing stuff with, what was it, the director of the summer program and the provost at La Sierra University partnered with you to start with some of these summer jazz concerts.
Mm-hmm.
Then this became a regular campus concert series, Pierce Street Jazz. So if you could talk about the beginning of that, how that started.
Warren Trenchard, he was the man over at La Sierra University. He would come into the Mission Inn occasionally. So he came up with the idea of having jazz over there. And it started out once every 3 or 4 months. Then they went once a month to have jazz over there. And it's a free concert, everybody's welcome, and they're trying to preserve America's art form, which is well needed in this city, in all cities. But that's how it started, and now it's been taken over by Marvin Payne and Richard Radick. And as a matter of fact, we have a concert. We'll be back there. And our guest artist featured is Nolan Shahid on trumpet, Marvin Smitty Smith on drums.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Theo Saunders on piano.
Oh, gosh.
So it starts at 7 o'clock, 7 to 9, and it's a free concert for the public. Be there or be square.
You know, it still blows me away that... You know, when I was a jazz host, putting jazz on the air 3 hours a night, Monday through Thursday night, back at a NPR station in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I come out here and I keep on encountering in person all these people that I used to read in the liner notes.
Right.
And so you just dropped two names. I mean, Marvin Smitty Smith, I mean, right, there's one. And then Theo, there's yet another.
Right.
They're playing for free at La Sierra University.
That's right. You can...
That's beautiful.
Thank the university for that.
And these are free concerts open to the public. I'll remind everybody of the details at the end of this again. At the very least, a Google search of Pierce Street Jazz, La Sierra University.
Right.
You'll get the lineup. Darla Tucker,
Is
incredible at putting the word out on these, and she was very helpful on getting this interview going, along with Tony Lopez here at KVCR. And Don Kluge, who gave me the stack of CDs. And this is just finally coming together. So there's other people running it, but you're still organizing who's coming. Is it solely looking at who's available? But after that, is there also an effort to make sure to bring in different types of players? Not only a vibraphonist this week and a saxophonist maybe the next time, but also, let's say, hard bop versus Latin versus, you know, different types of things.
I try to get, you know, somebody with the name, somebody that's going to be recognizable to people and somebody who's going to be great. I try to get, you know, all the instruments so they can people can see a variety of instruments. My wish is to get a jazz tuba player. All
oh,
I got to do is find one. But I want to keep all the instruments covered and let people get the opportunity to see what jazz is about from different aspects. That's why La Sierra University is so important, you know.
Yeah.
Music for free, too.
That's, again, incredible. Folks, I really hope that you're inspired to check out this Pierce Street Jazz series at La Sierra University in Riverside. As Henry mentioned earlier, one, you're going to get names that they're recognizable names. And even if you don't know them, okay, somebody that is really into jazz, they will tell you, no, you should know who this person is and you need to see them live. Again, it's just a real opportunity for people. Another one of your recordings, this one might have been early 2000s. Okay, I'm about to ask about All God's Children. This week.
That was 2001.
2001, okay.
Mm-hmm.
This one is a really cool one to hear. That is just to put on, turn it up, and listen, either as you're driving or maybe better off sitting comfortably on a couch. It was really cool to hear, but I suspect it would have been incredibly cool to see. And I only know it as a recording, but was this actually a performance art piece meant to be seen when it was first conceptualized?
No.
No?
Unfortunately, no, it wasn't. I always wanted to do an album kind of avant-garde, and so that's what we did. And that's how it came out. I would like to perform it sometime.
Oh, yeah. I mean, once you start reading the liner notes, there's, for example, it might even be on the first piece, Reverence, I think it was, where you're starting off on bass, but if I'm not mistaken, please correct me, but at some point, don't you leave the bass and go to sort of a hand drum and join the rest of the percussion members on that?
Yeah.
It's just, and this is something that you might not pick up if you're just listening.
Yeah.
But to see you, first of all, you're a tall man. It's not like you can just casually sneak over to the other side. You're a presence that will move across the stage. And it would be cool to see that sort of thing and really understand what's happening. I would love to see this performed one day.
Yeah, maybe we'll start working on that one, because it would be great to play with those guys again. It would certainly be great.
Oh, truly. A general question then. The disc was released under your name then, so then did you gather the players, or is it a matter of, here's what I want to do, and then a producer took over and started bringing in everybody? How does that kind of
work? No, I produced it.
Okay, good, good, good.
In fact, it's on my label, too.
Okay, okay.
So, you know, I was responsible, good or bad. I was responsible.
I want to say it's your fault, but
it's my fault.
But it's a cool, cool disc. And if you're wanting straight ahead, or even, you're not going to get that with this one. But it's still such a cool one to hear. And again, I hope, knock on for Micah, we will be able to get to see that someday as well. But a general question then about Reverence, or even Tongues Untied. I believe these are the first and last tunes on here. And there are aspects to these pieces which are very free form, but of course there certainly is an organization to it. And with you writing these pieces, I feel like surely everything couldn't be written out. I would feel like with something like this, it's very much, okay, it's your turn. Give me what you're feeling.
That's what it was. Everything was improvised. We talked about the direction, and then they got it after that, you know, and they just did their thing. We probably talked about the key before, but other than that, I just say you got it. And being the great musicians they were, they just took care of business. I think that's kind of the perks you get for having your own label. You know, you can do what you want to do. And I have, you know, a lot of ideas in my head that I want to do them, so I just do them. Like, I'm working on a new project now. I was in East Africa in October last year, and I did some recording while I was over there. I recorded the Maasai tribe singing, and I recorded a couple other tribes. And I'm going to, as soon as I get a minute, I'm going to put a bass over there singing, maybe some percussion. Beautiful, beautiful singing. Oh boy, that's something.
Another one on All God's Children. We mentioned Theo Saunders a little bit ago. There is a piece called The Illusion. Despite a lot of individual or slightly overlapping instruments coming in, it's very thinly textured. It's pretty much dominated by your bass. And then eventually you get to this continual phrase, and then it becomes this strong, driving, thick, textured piece. And, oh, and we should note, by the way, that as we do know of Theo Saunders as a pianist, this is him on a wooden flute on this tune as well. And that's just something cool to read because I was searching for who was playing what. So Theo has the writing credits. On this tune in particular, was it him doing the arrangements as well?
Yes. Like I said, the way he arranged it, we talked about it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So on a case like this, on a piece where in any recording project we could be talking about, but we're just talking about The Illusion at this moment, is this a case then, say, somebody, say Theo, comes into the table one day, I mean the literal and figurative table, and he's got his coffee or his flask, but he's sitting there and says, okay, I've got this thing, or maybe he goes over to the piano and gives you the phrase. I'm so curious about how things are built. Sometimes it's somebody laying down a bass line and going for a jam session and then saying, oh my God, I hope somebody was recording. Again, how a piece like this was built, him bringing it to the table and then a jam after that, or?
A jam after that, yeah.
Really, is that simple? Okay, okay.
Well, yeah, but these guys, I mean, these guys are all musical giants.
Okay,
you just,
truly.
You just gotta tell them what you want, or just don't even tell them what you want. Just tell them to do this and they'll make it work. It'll be very unique and very satisfying. You'd be surprised how many great musicians there are. I mean, these guys, they know music, you know, and they're just special. As I travel, I see people unbelievable, you know. You know, if you see a big band, you know, you might see the guys in the background, you know, in the sax section or the trumpet section, and you really don't think much. But I mean, all these guys are musical masters. They can all be soloists. They can all write anything you want them to write musically, you know. There's just so many. Yeah. Great musicians all over the place.
Truly. You're listening to KVC Arts. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Henry Franklin, the Skipper. Just ahead, a few of Skipper's jazz releases, one of the most recent, winning him an NAACP Image Award. Many past programs can be found through iTunes, NPR One, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Let's go back now to my conversation with bassist Henry Franklin and a look now at amongst his latest. Released in September of 2022, it has Henry's name across the front, but it was organized by Adrian Young and Ali Shahid Muhammad. This one took an NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Jazz Album in the Instrumental category, and deservedly so, and a long time coming for Henry. I have to say that as I was listening to this disc, going through the first track alone, I was already wishing that I was back in the position of being a jazz radio host. Because in a position like that, you're really introducing a lot of people to something that they might not have been able to find elsewhere. So hopefully you're introducing that to them. It's noted that all the tunes were composed by you, Adrian, and Ali, unless otherwise noted, but I didn't see any notations of otherwise. again, then, with the three of you, when you're writing together, this is much like what we were talking about earlier. Is this a case of somebody bringing something to the table and then we build on that? Are any of the tunes on this disc, on this self-titled, also, I suspect everybody's going to be calling it Jazz is Dead anyway, because there's huge letters across the front.
Right.
Any of these a case of, hey, let's just jam and see what happens?
No, this was pretty well structured. This was their project, and they invited me in. Adrian, he didn't have any music, but he told everybody in the studio. He played it out on the piano and said, I want you to do this, just like this. I've never done a session like that before. You know, they either have music or they don't. They tell you to play what you want to play. But he had it put out so you could just listen to what he was playing and then play it like he wanted it, same way. So that's how that went. And my tune, I just had an idea in my head, same, and I just told the guys what to do. Same thing, I guess.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was no collaboration.
No collaboration, but it was very cooperative, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
nice, yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. All the musicians were new to me. I didn't know any of them, so it was interesting and fun meeting them and playing with them.
You know, something else briefly about writing. We mentioned Stanley Clarke earlier. He told me on one of our conversations that when he's composing, he'll actually often compose on piano, and then he'll come up and play it on the bass. Mm-hmm. When you're writing, is it always on bass, or do you...
No, I'm the same way. Either get the melody on the piano, or sometimes I'll try to get the melody on the bass, or I'll make a bass line on the bass, and then go to the piano and find the melody. But between those two, piano or the bass, manage to scrape up a tune. You know,
scrape up. Somebody with such an incredible catalog as yours, just scrape one up, okay.
Let's scrape one up.
I think I may have asked him why, and he was just like, well, 88 keys.
Yep.
It's access.
Yep.
So, okay. Do you ever, by chance, are you always a stand-up double bass, or do you ever play an electric, or have you?
Not anymore. I played electric bass with O.C. Smith and Freddie Hubbard.
Okay.
In those days.
Back to the new disc, the Griot. This one, the first maybe 40 seconds or so, it's you and Jonathan Finson on drums. And now a couple of tunes have Scott Mayo on the flute, and it had to have been this one since I noted it here, but do you know if these were written with it in mind to have the flute, or do you recall maybe them trying the sax and then going, no, let's do another take with the flute or the, you know, whatever?
No, Adrian, he knew what he wanted, so there was no experiment.
Okay, so again, it was, he wrote it with the sound of an alto or a tenor, or no, give me a flute.
That's what he wanted, yeah.
Simple as that, okay. Mm-hmm. There's one, I think it might have been actually Memories Lost, but we could apply this to anything. So I love to hear where titles came from.
I've got so many family members. I just named songs after my kids and grandkids and great-grandkids.
That answers a lot of questions there. There's a song for this person or that person I've seen.
And
okay.
And you can't just do one. You got to get everybody in the family.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So I got about four more to go in the family before I can stretch out, you know.
Cafe Negro. It takes you to a place where you, I don't know, once were or longed to be. You know, you're going from this fusion kind of thing into this thing that makes you picture the tropics, sunrise, maybe sitting on a beach or near a beach. So my question for you, when you're playing this type of thing, when you close your eyes and see yourself doing a samba, even though you only had two lessons 23 years ago, when you're playing with this kind of a thing, is it very much a conscious trying to get this certain feel? Or do you ever have a case of where you close your eyes and visualize, let's say, Brazil, and do what happens with your mind's eye?
No, I'm trying to play the music as the band leader would want it. That's my first objective.
Okay.
Now, if he wants me to stretch out, I'll stretch out and be able to do those things, you know. But the main thing is to play what he wants. You can't take liberties on somebody else's music. So that's about the best way I can put that.
Session that you had, someone that I interviewed years ago, Jules Day,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Her disc, Daydreams. You're on one of the tunes, Dues. This is a Jules Day original. And so, much the same, how did you come to be on that recording session? It's Baba Elefante on many of the other tracks, but you're on this one, Dues.
I remember Jules, she was a friend, so I think she just probably asked me to come in and do something. Yeah, she's living in France now.
Yeah, she's been in Paris for, gosh, maybe the last 11 years, maybe more than that.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, I used to enjoy seeing her play in the area, so it was just, you just purely knew her as an area musician.
Yeah, we were friends. Wow, Jules Day. Been a long time.
It has. That's a disc that I enjoy pulling out, and,
right.
You know, especially since I only recently met Baba. Have you ever played with Baba Elefante? Some wonderful, cool combination of you on an upright and him on that fretless five-string bass?
Yeah, no, we haven't. I'm looking forward to that one of these days. He's a great bass player, and he's a wonderful person. But we haven't done that yet.
Okay.
I haven't seen him in a long time. You know, he's always busy, and I'm always doing something, too.
At the fourth Friday of every month, down at Back to the Grind in Riverside, Peter Curtis and some folks from RCC lead a jazz thing that starts off with them doing the first 45 minutes or so, and then after that, if you brought your axe, come on up and join in. It's a cool jam session. And
really?
That's where I've seen Baba the last few months. He's
really?
Been in there with Peter, yeah. So.
Is he playing an electric bass? Huh?
Not only electric, but yeah, it's five string and it's fretless.
Yeah, that's something good to know. Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's back quite a night.
Grind.
Yep. The first time I was there, I was taking pictures, and I looked to my left. I saw three saxophonists just waiting for their turn. They were just leaning against the bar with their instrument, and they were just waiting.
That's the reason I started playing the bass.
Oh, wow.
Because there's always 5 or 10 saxophone players.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in high school, and we were having the jam session. I was a saxophone player then.
Oh.
There was 3 or 4 other guys in front of me, so I saw this bass over here in the corner, and nobody was messing with it at all. So I went over there and touched it and felt it and fell in love with it.
I didn't know that one at all.
Yep.
Oh, I would have been leading off with it had I known it. Wow.
No problem.
I feel like Marshall Hawkins told me something very similar. He was on another instrument, but then he just, there was a bass over there, and he started. And, of course, that's where he is still today.
Oh, yeah.
And just up in Idlewild, but still, that's what he's doing. My God.
Great bass player.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've known Marshall since 1965.
That's even before he ended up with Miles.
Oh, yeah. I met him in D.C. I was there with Willie Bobo.
Since we mentioned earlier Gene Harris and the three sounds, there's now three more sounds that you have put out. Still you and Carl Burnett, and then it was Bill Hyde, but now you said Robert Turner joining in now instead. One of these records, the first one that I heard anyway, was almost exactly 15 years after Gene Harris's death. And I absolutely love the disc. Oh, The Happiness of Pursuit. That's the one that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that was earlier with Bill. Yes.
Okay. So now it doesn't feel at all like you were trying to recreate the sound that you had with Gene Harris and the three sounds, but rather recapture the memory, or at least the name of it. But I wonder if Bill might have been wondering about that very thing, if people were expecting him to fill some mighty big shoes. Any conversations about that, do you remember?
Bill loved Gene, of course. That's the way Bill plays, the way you heard him, that's the way he is normally. a new one with Robert Turner. He sounds very much like Gene. If you close your eyes, you'll find it hard to think that you're not listening to Gene.
Oh, my God. We kind of covered your first release and amongst your most recent, if not the most recent, and touching lightly on things in between, but one of the items in between, the LA Jazz Machine. All the tunes were composed by the various groups playing on the recording, including yourself, except for I Loves You Porgy, Porgy and Bess. Mm-hmm. This one is pretty much led by Ben Clatworthy. This is someone I'm definitely going to have to check more into. On this, he's on a few different types of sax, and then, of course, he doubles on the flute as well. Unless this is totally out of your hands, the first thing that I noted is that with all these original tunes, what made the decision to include a non-original? And then, of course, how did it happen to be this one? I mean, everybody loves Porgy and Bess if you're playing jazz. No complaints, mind you. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious about how that one came to be, how we've got all these great originals, and it was, well, do we need one for recognition, or...
I think that's what it was.
Okay, yeah.
We needed a ballad, and I guess Ben had been practicing that one.
Okay.
So he suggested it, so and it was a great suggestion, so yeah. He just went on and did it.
Okay.
I think he's got his own little arrangement of the tune in there, too. Some yeah. different changes.
It's been music from and conversation with Henry Franklin, the skipper, for this edition of KBC Arts. He's still playing all over the region and still organizing the musicians for the Pierce Street Jazz Series at La Sierra University. Their next concert is May 22nd, and to stay up to date, they have a Facebook page, also on La Sierra's Instagram, at La Sierra University, and La Sierra's Twitter, at La Sierra News. And La Sierra's main Facebook and upcoming artists will also be featured on the homepage, lasierra.edu. Thanks again to Henry Franklin, as well as to Darla Tucker with La Sierra University. Here at KVCR, thanks to Lillian Vasquez, Rick Dulock, Sharina Watt, and a big thanks to Tony Lopez. Many past KVC Arts, including the rest of my conversation with Henry, can be found through iTunes, NPR One, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. Give any time at kvcrnews.org/support. And thanks again.